a special treat. Someone who speaks all over the world, very well known. He's been teaching in Or Sameach for over two decades. The Rav of Matis Yohu, Harav Zev Lef.
I thought that I would speak this year about a very important, perhaps the most important tool of Kiruv that's sometimes totally forgotten or totally misunderstood as not being a tool of Kiruv. And that is the tool of Talmud Torah, of sitting down and learning Torah with somebody. And I don't mean to minimize the importance of gimmicks and all kinds of methods that are used by Kiruv organizations to attract Jewish souls and to influence them. In fact, the Yavetz explains the Gemara. The Gemara says that Birkas Haminim B'Yavne Tiknu. And the Yavetz says, Yavne is Rosh Etevos for Yayin B'Somim Ner Havdolah. Very cryptic Yavetz. What in the world does Birkas Haminim have to do with the Brochas of Havdolah? But I think the answer is very simple. The sad fact is that you can't be makar of everybody. And there are people who are not, one is not able to reach, or one's not allowed to reach, because you're not allowed to get into arguments with a Jewish apikoros. And even though there are very few Jewish apikorsim around, most of them are downright amaratzim, but if you ever meet up with one, then the regular means of kiruv are off bounds. Can't get into conversations with a real min, with a real apikoros. And there are situations where, because of practical considerations, a person's not allowed to be involved in kiruv, because the chances that he will be influenced are greater than the chances that he will influence the people he wants to influence. And therefore, there are times when a person has to make havdalah, when he has to separate himself from people that potentially could be objects of kiruv, but practically can't. But Chazal told us, b'yavne tiknuhu, that's only after you tried every other avenue. You tried the yayin. Some people are attracted to Yiddishkeit because of emotion, and emotional means. Get them into a circle and dance with them and get their emotions worked up to Yiddishkeit. That's one way of being makar of people, the yayin, the emotion. Some people are more attracted to intellectual things. So the ner, enlighten them. It's another way. Show them the depth of what Judaism is, the depth of Jewish philosophy. And some people, the besamim, the beauty of Jewish living, aesthetics of Jewish living, that's what will impress them. But after you tried everything, and you have the yayin, and the ner, and the besamim, and nothing works, then sometimes you have to make havdalah too. Then sometimes you have to decide that this is just not for me, it's not possible, I have to separate myself from these people and these people from me. So I don't discount the fact that there are many avenues and tools to be used for kiruv, and they depend really on the person that you are attempting to be makariv, what's going to reach their neshama. But the fundamental foundation of all kiruv has to be Talmud Torah. My Rebbe, Rav Mordechai Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when people came to tells who were sent there, who were basically totally ignorant of anything Jewish. I remember one young man who came Friday night to the Telzer Beis Medrash. His girlfriend had been coming to tells since she came on a Rosh Hashanah every Shabbos. We had the schus of having her for Shabbos and taking her back to her college nearby. Her boyfriend showed up. totally ignorant of anything Jewish, came to the Telzer Beis Medrash, didn't want to put a yarmulke on. Wouldn't have had too much place to put it on since he had a tremendous ponytail also. That young man now is a very choshev rav in America. I'm not going to tell you who he is. Very choshev rav. But I remember of Gifter saying, don't sit and talk to the man. Don't try to convince him. Sit down and learn something. Open a chumash and learn a few psukim with him. And Torah has a tremendous koach. Halavai osi ozovu v'sorosi shamaru shmiras ha-Torah is limud ha-Torah. Don't sell the power of Torah short. And sitting with him will initiate at least that beginning of what will be a long derech of kiruv. And it could be for that reason, in Shmon Esrei, we start with Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorosecha, and then only after that, V'Korveinu Malkeinu L'Avodosecha. The first Yisod, the first step is Torosecha. The first step is sit and learn some Torah. Person's not capable of learning a blot Gemara, learn a Pasuk Chumash. Nothing wrong with a Chumash. Nothing wrong with a Pasuk from Navi. Nothing wrong with a Mishnah. Sit and let the Torah have its effect on him. And I want to explain to you why Talmud Torah is in fact the most valuable and most effective tool in Kiruv. First of all, Talmud Torah is very important for somebody who wants to makariv people before he even meets anybody. Because the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Zocha V'Zika Es HaRabim. Before you can be mezakeh the rabbim, you have to be somebody who is fit to be mezakeh as the rabbim. First, you have mezakeh yourself. And the more you learn, and the bigger Talmud Chacham you are, the more you'll be able to influence other people. The Vilna Gaon says, the best way of filling up other people's cups, whether they are English cups or Yiddish cups, is by overflowing. The more you pour into your cup and it overflows, the more you can fill and fill and fill others. But if you take from the meager knowledge that you have and try to pour it out to somebody else, then you end up with nothing. So before you can be mezakeh harabim, the more you sit and learn, the bigger Talmud Chacham you are, the more Torah you have under your belt, the more success you'll have in being makariv people, both in quantity and in quality. So Talmud Torah is the first tool of kiruv before you even makariv anybody. Sit and learn. Learn as much as you can. And even when you are ready in the field, don't stop learning. And don't stop learning on the highest level you can learn, with a chevrusa, with a shir, if you have that opportunity, but at least with yourself. Steig. Don't stop steiging, and don't think that that is a conflict with your kiruv. It only can enhance your kiruv. The second benefit of Talmud Torah also is in the makariv. Aside from who you are and what you are and what kind of Talmud Chacham you are and to what impact you can have on someone else, also the clearer you are in what it is that you're trying to sell, the more successful you'll be in selling it. If you want to sell an item and you don't believe in it, or you have no idea what it does, you're not going to be a very good salesman. But if you know the item inside out and you believe in it, then you can sell it to somebody else. The more that you know, the bigger Talmud Chacham you are, the more you understand and the more you learn, the more you believe and the more faith you have in what you believe and the surer you are of yourself, you can give it over to other people. The word lemor in the Torah normally means to tell over to others. But there's some times in the Torah when the word lemor can't mean that. So the Mefarshim say that then lemor means bibrirus, clearly. In fact, the Rabbeinu Bachya says that whenever it says Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, it hints to Torah Shebal Peh. The Rabbanu Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu what it says in the Torah, But he also told him the Torah Shebaal Peh, the ideas behind it, the details, to make it more clear to him what it was that he's referring to. So the Lemor is with clarity. And there's no contradiction between these two meanings. Because the more you know something clearly, the more it's clear to you, both from the intellectual standpoint and from the emuna standpoint, the more you can give it over to somebody else. And the less it's clear to you, the less you can give it over. Chazal say, V'shinantom levonecha, shiyu divrei Torah, chidudim al picha, shalo tegamge. L'chora, Chazal should have said, V'shinantom levonecha is not talking about you learning. It's talking about teaching your children. It should have said, you should teach your children in a way that's chidudim al pihem. That they shouldn't be megamgem. What's v'shinantom levonecha, shiyu chidudim al picha? But that's the idea. If they're not clear to you and you're stuttering about it, then how in the world are you going to give it over to your children? So if you want to make sure that you can give it over to your children, then the tenai is v'shinantom shiyu divrei Torah chidudim al picha. And if you want to give it over to your surrogate children, who are talmidim, who are people that you will be makariv, are also your children, then first the divrei Torah have to be chidudim al picha. So as much as you can learn, the more deeply you can learn, and the more that you can base yourself and establish yourself as a Talmud Chacham, the more you'll be able to be mashpia on other people. And now the tool of Talmud Torah also has a tremendous effect on the Kiruv itself. When you sit down and learn a Pasuk Chumash with somebody, you don't think that you're inspiring them. They may not even believe in this. So what's the benefit of sitting and learning a Pasuk Chumash with somebody who has no idea what he's doing, has no idea what the basics of Yiddishkeit are? He may not even know there's a God. But when you sit down and you learn a Pasuk Chumash, you're awakening with that in that person the foundation of his neshama. Because he learned that Pasuk Chumash once before, with a malach, before he was born. And it's in his neshama. It's part of his mitzias, it's part of his essence. And when you start to learn that Pasuk Chumash with him, whether he knows it or not, whether he feels it or not, whether he's conscious of it or not, makes no difference. But you have connected him with the root of his neshama. And once he's connected, there is no limit to how much that root of his neshama can have a hashpa on him. Shamor sheba magzul lemutav. That light that he's familiar with, because he learned that light with a malach. And now you reminded him, you awoke within him, subconsciously, neshama level, his connection to his source, to his roots, to his essence. That's the first thing. Secondly, if you want to be makariv somebody, you have to get close to them. And that's why, as an aside, my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Stein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said that when it comes to Kiruv, men should be makariv men, and women should be makariv women. People can be makariv in a family atmosphere, men or women, but that's only when the family is there, a husband and wife together, invite somebody for a Shabbos. But otherwise, on a one-to-one basis, not in a classroom situation, but a one-to-one basis, men should be makariv men and women be makariv women. And we learned that from the Medrash. The Medrash says that Avram was megayeris agerim and Sarah was megayeris esagioros. And the Rosh Shiva Reb Chaim said, that's not just a nice Medrash, it's halacha. Chazal are telling us that's the way to do it. Sarah took care of the women and Avram took care of the men, not vice versa. Because it's different than giving a shiur in a classroom. That's not kiruv necessarily. That's limud HaTorah. But if you want to use limud HaTorah or any other method of kiruv, for kiruv you have to get close to somebody. And it definitely is not sanua for men to get close to women who are not their wives and women to get close to men who are not their husbands. So if you really want to be makariv somebody, you have to bring them close. What's the best way to get close to somebody? Yehuda told Yosef, who he thought was the Sheni Lemelech Mitzrayim, how in the world can I go home and face my father and tell him that his son Binyamin has been taken away from him? The Nafsho Kshura Benafsho. It's his youngest son. It's the last one left from his beloved wife who's no longer alive. And Nafsho Kshura Benafsho. Says Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam. Why Nafsho Kshura Benafsho? You would think there's plenty of reason why the Nefesh of Binyamin should be kosher and bound with the Neshama of Yaakov. You know why Nafsho Kshura Benafsho? Says Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam. Shalimdo Torah. Because he learned Torah with him. There's no way of getting closer to a person, even all the things that existed between Yaakov Avinu and Binyamin were nothing compared to the fact they learned Torah together. That's what really brought them together. So if you want to make care of somebody, the very first step is to get close to that person. And the way to get close to him is Shalimdo Torah. Then Nafsho Kshura Benafsho. Sit down and learn with him. Secondly, thirdly, aside from the fact that by sitting and learning Torah with somebody, you connect them to themselves, you connect them to you, you also connect them to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Because Torah is Dvar Hashem. When a person teaches someone Torah, he connects him to Maimed Har Sinai. That is the relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud. You sit down and you learn a Pasuk Chumash with somebody, a Mishnah, a Gemara. You are the pipeline that connects them to Maimed Har Sinai. Bereses uvaziyah, that's the way Torah has to be learned. And that's what it says in the Pasuk. V'holdatim levonecha v'levnei vonecha yom asher omadeto lefnei Hashem elokecha. When you teach someone Torah, you connect them to Maimed Har Sinai. Memeli, you connect them to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Torah is mechaven daito shel adam ledas hamakom, because that's what Torah is. Torah is das hamakom. And when you learn Torah, you're mischaber l'Kodesh Baruch Hu. What else is kiruv if not bringing a person back to his source, back to his essence, returning to him, to his heritage? If it's not getting close to somebody so you can be mashpi on them and not returning them to the Rabbanu Shel Olam? And all those things are inherent in Talmud Torah. And additionally, you're mechaber them to Klal Yisrael. Because every single person has his chelik in Torah. Yesh shishim ribuy osios la Torah. The 600,000 letters to the Torah we've explained in the past. It seems to imply, and this is the way many Mefarshim learn, that there are 600,000 letters in the written Torah, and there are 600,000 root souls of Klal Yisrael. Every soul is a cluster of souls, but there are 600,000 clusters. And every cluster of souls has a letter in the Torah corresponding to it. Very beautiful. There's only one problem. There aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah. There's only 304,588, I think, or 855, one of the two. It's a far cry from 600,000. It's not, you know, a gematria where plus or minus one or two doesn't make too much of a difference. But here it's plus or minus 300,000. So there are many, many answers to the question. How it could be that there are shishim ribui osios in the Torah. But I don't think there's a question. The question would only be if it said, yei shishim ribui osios batorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and there aren't. But if it said, yei shishim ribui osios batorah, it wouldn't spell Yisrael. It would spell Yisra'ab. In order to spell Yisrael, it has to be yei shishim ribui osios la Torah, which means the following. There are 304,000 written letters in the Torah. In addition to those 304,000 written letters, you have to add another 600,000 letters to make the Torah complete. Because Yisrael v'oraisa v'kudsha brichu chadu. Because the Torah isn't complete unless it's connected to the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. And there are an additional 600,000 letters in the Torah of the neshamas of Klal Yisrael that have to be connected to the written Torah to make it complete. Therefore, every single Jewish neshama is a letter in that auxiliary Torah called the Torah of Klal Yisrael. And when you return someone back to that Sefer Torah by making him familiar with his chelik in Torah, even if it's the beginnings, then you put him into Klal Yisrael. You put him into that Sefer Torah of Klal Yisrael, which he didn't know he's part of, which he didn't know that he has a connection to. And now you put him back into that Sefer Torah, you connected him to Klal Yisrael. So by sitting down and learning a pasuk chumash with a person as a foundation to kiruv, you connect him to himself, you connect him to you, you connect him to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and you connect him to Klal Yisrael. If that's not enough, that's the foundation. How about now you want to be mashpi on him to put it into action? You want to teach him mitzvahs? You want to teach him more than just a pasuk chumash? Borasi Yetzer Hara, Borasi Torah Tavlin. There are so many Yetzer Haras out there that it's almost impossible to start being mashpi on somebody to keep any mitzvah. There are so many deterrents, so many Yetzer Haras that keep a person from mitzvahs. This mitzvah I can't do, that mitzvah I can't do. This taiva prevents me from keeping Shabbos, and this taiva prevents me from keeping tznius, and this taiva prevents me from other mitzvahs. So how you mashpi on somebody? How do you get around the Yetzer Hara? So the Rabbanu Shlom said, he created the Yetzer Hara, so he must know how to get around it. And everybody has different ideas how to do it, but l'chora you have to go to the designer. And if the Rabbanu Shlom said, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Ubarasi Torah Tavlin, that the only antidote, the only spice that can spice up the Yetzer Hara and turn it into something good is Torah, then that's the only spice. There's nothing else. All the other gimmicks that you could possibly use are not going to squelch the Yetzer Hara. Only Talmud Torah is going to do that. So if you want to be mashpi on somebody and have them do mitzvahs and not do averas, so you have to start with Talmud Torah. First you have to disarm their Yetzer Hara. Once you disarm the Yetzer Hara, then it's easy to mashpi on them to do mitzvahs and not to do averas. But if you don't disarm the Yetzer Hara, you have a very, very difficult time. So the way to disarm the Yetzer Hara is to sit and learn Torah. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. In addition, you want somebody to keep mitzvahs. That's kiruv, yeah. You want them to live a Torah life. So gedola talmud shemevi alidei maisa. You know what brings a person to do mitzvahs? Learning. And it's not just because if you don't learn, you don't know what to do. That's just the most elementary level. But if you don't learn, what you do doesn't have the same quality as what you do when you do know. Somebody who's learned through all the sugyas and menachas of tefillin, how they're written and what the mitzvah of tefillin is and how to put it on and all the ideas behind it and all the depth and all the breadth of halacha and hashkafa, everything. When he puts on his tefillin, it's completely a different ma'isa of hanochas tefillin than somebody who only knows, well, these are black boxes and somebody told me I'm supposed to put them on my arm. Both are mekayim the mitzvah. But the quality of the mitzvah is enhanced by how much you know what's behind that mitzvah. A Talmud Chacham, a Gadol b'Yisrael, puts on a pair of tefillin is a different mitzvah than somebody who doesn't know too much about the mitzvah. So gedola talmud shemivili de ma'isa, not only is it mivili de ma'isa because it balances and takes away the Yetzer Hara and enables somebody then to be able to do mitzvahs and not do averas. Not only does it give him the information he needs to be able to do it, but it makes his ma'isim much more quality ma'isim. And lastly, so once you get past that first pasuk in Chumash and you realize that one of the major tools in Kiruv is not necessarily having a pizza party, but one of the major tools in Kiruv is sitting and learning with somebody and learning with them more and more and deeper, and that should accompany all the other gimmicks and all the other avenues of Kiruv. But sit and learn. I'll tell you a Sfarno. You can look it up for yourself. Sfarno is in Parshas Bishalach, famous Sfarno. Pasuk says, Ad mosai me antem lishmor mitzvosai v'chukosai v'torosai. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael there's not going to be any mon on Shabbos, so they shouldn't bother to go out and collect the mon. There's not going to be any. And Klal Yisrael, true to what Klal Yisrael is, Moshe says there's not going to be any mon. They want to see for themselves. So they go out to see if there's any mon. Right? Anybody in ever was in a position of leadership knows that that is definitely what's going to happen. You tell people there won't be any mon, they want to see for themselves. Okay. So they go out. And there's no mon. They went out to collect mon. They weren't able to do it. So the Rabban Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Mosei Me'antim, how long will you, including Moshe Rabbeinu, refuse to keep the Torah? So the Sfarno asks the same question that Rashi asks in the name of Chazal. What's Me'antim? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He didn't go out to collect any mon. He believed there wasn't going to be any mon. What do you want from him? So Rashi says a different teretz. The Sfarno says, even though Moshe Rabbeinu did not go out to collect mon, but he caused them to go out and collect mon. How did he cause them? Says the Sfarno. Because all you did was tell them, there's not going to be any mon, don't go and collect it. What do you expect? They listen to you. You tell somebody not to do something, the natural knee-jerk reaction is, you say no, I say yes. You say there's not going to be mon, who said? That's a natural reaction that people have. What do you expect them to do? What should you have done, Moshe Rabbeinu? You should have taught them the depth of why not to go and collect mon. Why isn't there any mon on Shabbos? Don't just tell them there's not going to be any mon. Sit and learn with them the sugyas of Hilcha Shabbos. What's the problem with mon? Is it Hotzah? Maybe it's Ma'amir? Maybe it's Tlisha, says the Sfarno. Teach them Hilcha Shabbos. Sit down and give them a shiur in Hilcha Shabbos. They should understand what's the problem of going out and collecting mon. What are the depths of the halacha? And then you told them, don't collect, there won't be any mon. So they doubted what you said. But if you had taught them the hashkafas of Shabbos, why it's important to keep Shabbos, what's the ideas behind Shabbos, teach them the lofty ideas, the hashkafas of Shabbos, and you would have also told them the schar and the onesh, how much reward somebody gets for keeping Shabbos, and how much punishment you get for not keeping Shabbos, had you taught them the depth and the breadth, not just told them, do this, don't do that, this is the way it is, that's the way it is. But you show them the depth and the breadth of halacha and hashkafa and musar. Then of course they would have listened. Who knows all of that and couldn't keep Shabbos properly? That's the way they makarev people. You want them to listen. You want them to follow what you're telling them. You want them to embrace a Torah way of life. Then show them the depth and the breadth of Torah through limud haTorah. Teach them the halacha. Teach it in all of its depth and all of its glory. Make them aware of all the hashkafes haTorah. Make them aware of the musar haTorah. And this is not an easy thing. You're not makariv somebody in like a 5-minute crash course. Say this, don't say that. Do this, and all of a sudden the person will be frum. And not only frum, probably at tzadik yisod olam. Doesn't work like that. It's a process. We're trying to be makar of ourselves, a lifelong process. Why should it be harder for you to do it to yourself than to somebody else? So for ourselves, it's a lifelong process for whoever you want to be makar of. It's not a 5-minute crash course and give him some pizza and he'll become a frum yid. It's a much deeper thing. And again, I don't minimize all the other avenues and all the other tools. They're important as long as they are legitimate. But don't forget that the ikkar you're trying to do is mechaber that person to the Rabbanu Shalom. And the way to mechaber a person to the Rabbanu Shalom is be'ikr through Talmud Torah. And if you understand that the power of Talmud Torah in all the ways that we said and millions of other ways that are beyond my comprehension sets that kesher with a Jewish neshama, then you won't forget to put in your package of tools of Kiruv Limud HaTorah, Limud HaTorah on the highest level that you can give, and the highest level you can give depends on how much of a Talmud Chacham you are, so become a bigger Talmud Chacham, so you can give Limud HaTorah on a bigger level. And if you remember that, Amir Tzashem, then the purpose of Torah, the Rambam says, Lo nitna haTorah, it's a Gemara in Yevamos, but the Rambam says it in the end of Hilchas Chanukah. Lo nitna haTorah ela lahavi shalom laolam. The purpose of Torah. Torah is the vehicle to bring shleimus, shalom, to the world. And talmidei chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. And therefore, if you want to be me talmidov shel Aaron, ohev shalom, the rodev shalom, ohev shalom and rodev shalom, ohev esabriyas umekarvon l'Torah, that shalom comes through Talmud Torah. That shalom comes from Torah, from being talmidei chachamim hamarbim shalom ba'olam. And if you'll bring yourselves to that shleimus, and you'll share that shleimus with others through limud haTorah, then you'll be ohev esabriyas umekarvon l'Torah, and in that schus, and the schus that will bring all of Klal Yisrael back to Torah, then all of Klal Yisrael return, shavu bonim ligvulam, b'vias goel tzedek meir of yomeinu.